The Department of Justice is pushing for more limits on the use of force by police departments across the country. They'd like police to slow down confrontations whenever possible. Seattle Police Department's new use of force policy is a prime example of that. The policy was implemented in January, part of a 2012 agreement with the DOJ. It was meant to avert a civil rights lawsuit over inappropriate use of force, but the implementation has hit a bit of resistance from the police themselves. Martin Costi is NPR's law enforcement correspondent. He's based here in Seattle, and he's been looking at this in a two-part series that runs today, and it's nice to see you, Martin. Thanks
Hey, Marcy.
For coming by.
Thanks.
In general, how would you characterize the Seattle police officers' response to their new use of force policy?
Well, as you've probably heard, they sued. They filed a federal lawsuit. This was about 100 officers who signed on. It was the spring, and that's still working its way through the system. They now have a full-time lawyer, too, for that. Before, it was just pro se. And I think a lot of what you're getting is sort of a grumbling about the complexity of this document. It's a long, I mean, that part of the manual just mushroomed. A lot of sort of observations, caveats, consider this, consider that. And there's a sense that that complexity is just too much for any officer to keep in his or her head. There's also a lot of concern about it, the way it emphasizes finding ways to de-escalate confrontations if possible. It always says if possible.
Right.
And to keep certain things in mind to consider. The policy likes to use the verb consider, things like language barriers, mental illness, that kind of thing. And there's this sense, I talked to an officer named Mike Severance. He's now just retired, but he was on the force for 46 years. And you know, now that he's out of off the force, he can speak freely to the media. And we sat down, and you know, he said, given his own experience in the streets, reading this policy, it just struck him as all very ridiculous.
I've been involved in 3 shooting incidents during my career, 1 fatal. And if I'd been burdened with this current policy during that last encounter, yeah, the outcome could have been different. I would have had to consider too many things which would have allowed the subject to take more shots at me than he did.
Seattle Police Department veteran and now retired officer Mike Severance. And Martin Costi, Mike Severance isn't alone in this. I hear that you got hold of an internal Seattle Police Department email about use of force.
Yeah, this is just from last Thursday. This came from the second watch commander in the East Precinct. And he sent out this 4-point memo sort of reminding sergeants, actually calling attention to what he called a troubling trend of officers being too reluctant to use force where appropriate. I'll read item 1 here. Some officers are very hesitant to use force in situations where force is clearly needed. Please communicate to our officers that it's okay to use force when needed. He goes on also to talk about how there's a troubling sense that some officers are reluctant to use force because of the paperwork, the reporting. And this new policy does require a lot more time documenting the moment you used force, what you did. And it used to be just part of the incident report. Now it's a lot more work. So it might also be just a paperwork problem.
Martin Costi, you also talked with people who are advocating for reform in the course of your reporting. And when they talk about their fellow cops or cops that they see who are resistant to changes, what do they have to say?
Well, I had a great conversation with an officer named Russ Hicks. He's a 23-year vet, but he's also a veteran, I should say, of being a line officer, a patrol officer. But he's also an instructor at the State Patrol, the State Police Academy in Burien. You know, he's very much of the community policing mindset. He doesn't like the sort of militaristic, aggressive stance that a lot of American police sort of adopt. But he says it really bothers him when he hears police officers talking about how their number one job is to go home safe every night.
If you've interviewed police officers, say, well, my number one job is to call home safe every night. No, it's not. If that's your number one job, you shouldn't be a police officer because every night you can get killed. You shouldn't go to the active shooter call because there's a good chance you can get shot and killed. I mean, that's a bit, but it morphs that way because it feels safe to say those things and act that way. But that's an illusion. One of my best friends was killed in the Lakewood incident. And this guy was a 2nd Ranger Battalion and a SWAT team tactical leader, and he was sitting at a coffee shop. That's the reality. The reality is it's a dangerous job, and regardless of who you are, there is this element, but there is fear, and that's why we call it sometimes here at the academy fear biting. The dog is fearful, so he bites. And so there is an element of fear. But if you feel confident in yourself and you feel confident in your abilities because you understand your place, I think there's a calming effect where you feel that you can do your job without fear biting, without a fear of every person is going to kill you.
That's Russ Hicks and Martin Costi. That's a fascinating piece of audio.
Yeah, it's a minute long in radio. We're not supposed to use pieces of tape that long, but I just felt like I had to because you can really hear him working through the very real problem of an officer's safety and his desire to go home safe at night, but how that can become a barrier to effective policing.
So this is an issue that Seattle area listeners know pretty well. We've been talking about police reform for a while. How does what's happening here compare to reform efforts around the country, especially in the wake of what's happened in Ferguson, Missouri?
You know, there are 12 or 18,000 different police agencies in this country. I always forget exactly the number. I think people count different ways. But there's so much diversity in the approach of this. It's hard to say there's a concrete trend. There certainly is more talk about the need to return to community policing. That trend was kind of interrupted by 9/11 when Homeland Security kind of trumped the idea of community policing. A lot of the ideas that had been kind of flowering in the 90s went away for a while. Now that seems to be coming back a little bit. DOJ has been pushing it. Whether that's just lip service or whether we're seeing a real pendulum swing here, it's hard to say at this point.
NPR's Martin Costi. You can find his reports on policing at npr.org. Martin, thanks for stopping by.
You're welcome.
This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.